This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Enterprise BizBytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
You're listening to Enterprise BizBytes. I am Christine Wong and I'm being joined by...
Frida Liu.
It's Frida Liu. Frida,
loud and clear.
Loud and clear. And joining me virtually today for Enterprise Biz Bytes. Now, today we're talking about income tax, but more specifically about income tax when it comes to your side hustle. If you want to get in touch with us and join in that conversation, you can go to Twitter at BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899 if you have something a little bit more long form to share with us. Now, it's a question to ask. I mean, we're in tax season right now, and there's this thought, right? Like, should you file income tax if you run an online store during your free time? Should you file income tax if you do food delivery full time? How does income tax work for side hustles? Now, your income isn't just what's on your payslip, right? However much profit you've made with your effort, be it renting out an apartment, selling clothes online, renting out an Airbnb, working part-time as a content writer, all of that can be considered your income.
Right. And as digital platforms in the gig economy grows rapidly in Malaysia, it's easier than ever for you and me to embark on the entrepreneurial dream to gain more income streams. So that being said, having side incomes and side businesses also mean that you'll need to declare and file taxes for all income that you've earned. But how should you file taxes for these income streams?
Mm-hmm. So first, you've got to identify if your income is considered a side business. So side businesses are defined as secondary enterprises that you run when you already have a prior commitment, such as a day job or a primary business. They can be registered with SSM, whether as a sole proprietor or partnership business, as doing so will entitle you to some tax incentives that are inaccessible to taxpayers with non-business income. And examples of side businesses are online stores, blogging, content creating services, etc.
Right. So after identifying your income as a side business, you need to know what form to use when filing for income tax. If your business is registered with SSM as a sole proprietor business, you'll need to use B form when filing your taxes. If your business is not registered, then use the usual B form to file your tax as a freelancer instead. In this B form, you'll be able to declare your side income under statutory income from interest, discounts, royalties, pensions, annuities, other periodical payments, and other gains and profits. So to clarify, other gains and profits are payments received for part-time or any broadcasting, lecturing, writing, and other jobs that you take up occasionally. So if your side income falls under any of these categories, you can declare in your B form as it does not technically count as carrying on a business.
Yes, and as a registered business owner, you would be entitled to a number of tax deductions and incentives on top of the individual tax reliefs that you can also claim, such as business expenses, which includes office supplies, transport, and travel expenses. Besides, you can also claim capital allowance, which is provided as the depreciating value of certain assets that you need for your business. So the thing is, I think the question here is also, you know, what really delegates a side hustle and not a business, right?
Right. So this is a question that I asked many years ago. Now, one of the things is that when you are filing a tax as an employee, actually, it's fairly fixed. So what happens, though, when you actually have side business, so you have to declare rent and all that, the tax benefits aren't as great if you are still filing as an employee. So it actually makes sense to open a business account is under a separate account so that you are able to get tax incentives. For example, parking, you're entertaining someone, you can actually declare that against your tax as well. So the benefits are more when you're not an employee, actually.
Interesting. But then I think also I'm wondering about, like, when you first start to get into the working world, this is stuff that you might not know. I mean, we have seen, and I know, Frida, you've actually interviewed several very entrepreneurial teenagers and kids, right?
Right.
So, like, at what point do they then start to, you know, delineate their, like, quote-unquote side hustle as, like, their main business or their side business? Like, you know, like, for example, when I first entered the workforce, right, I did some tutoring on the side, but no one told me that I could have put that in my taxes. Like, it's not really something that is, that is necessarily taught to you, right? Like, it didn't occur to me because I was like, that's just a favor I do for, like, a family friend.
Right,
but technically speaking, you know, if you're getting paid for it, you're getting paid for it.
I think What is it? If you're earning less than 30,000, was it, then you don't have to declare tax anyway. So if you're just doing this part time, but if you're, if it's more than 30,000 and you're already paying towards taxes, then yes, all these things come to consideration. I think like if it's less than 30,000, you know, you're just giving tuition and all that, and it doesn't come out over that amount, then you don't have to declare it.
Yeah. So it's an interesting topic for sure. And I think, you know, especially throughout the pandemic, a lot of people have started doing side hustles at home. A lot of F&B related side hustles I've seen pop up on Instagram, which I personally benefit from. But I
think a lot of people is like, to declare, not
exactly.
To declare.
You know, this is the question that's probably propped up for a lot of people. So if you have questions about this and you want to get in touch with us, you want to maybe share your experience about your side hustle and how you've gone about that taxation wise, get in touch. Hit us up on Twitter at BFM Radio or on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. After the break, we'll be speaking to Peng Tun Yao, Chief Editor of Ringgit Plus. So we'll be speaking to them about how taxes actually work when it comes to side hustles. For now, we have Jimi Hendrix with Purple Haze on BFM 89.9.
Stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Be financially minded. BFM 89.9.
Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
This is Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9. I'm Christine Wong, and joining me is
Frida Liu.
And today is Tuesday, the 29th of March, 2022. And you know, it's March, it's leading into April, so it's officially tax season, y'all. If you haven't done your taxes, a quick reminder to maybe get started on that. We don't have that much time left. And today we're talking about taxes, specifically what income tax is or how it qualifies when it comes to your side hustle. And before the break, we were talking about, you know, if you how to identify if your income is considered a side business or not, and then knowing what form to use when filing for income tax as well. If you want to get in touch with us, join this conversation about your side hustle and your approach to income tax with that, you can, of course, hit us up on Twitter at BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. We don't have anything yet, I don't think. So let's just move on. And we all know that tax filing can sometimes be a taxing task. Yes. So what can you do to make the tax filing process easier? Yes, the pun was intended. Here are some tips actually given by Alex Cheong Puyin of Ringgit Plus. So the first tip is just to have a good bookkeeping practice, right? Keep a clear record of your business income and expenses throughout the year by filing your invoices, receipts, and bank statements properly and promptly. If you want, you can even draw proper profit and loss documents and balance sheets to assist you. Whichever method you prefer, just be sure to log these details systematically and according to date so you can easily refer to them when filing your taxes. Also, side note, on a personal level, I find that Google Sheets are very helpful, even, you know, not for our business filing taxes, right. But if you make any major purchases, for example, if you buy, you know, any tech, I mean, that's a huge thing for personal income tax. Google Sheets are really good. It's free and it's also saved to a cloud, so you don't have to worry about like constantly updating it. You know, I'm a big proponent of Google Sheets. But on top of that, also remember to keep all of your receipts and invoices for a period of 7 years, as is required by the Income Tax Act 1967.
You know, I've been filing taxes for such a long time. Uh-huh. I'm still so, you know, when it comes to tax seasons, like, oh, where are all my documents? It's terrible. I do try to throw them all into a box. Mm-hmm. But the other thing as well, if you get receipts online, quickly put it into a, you know, I've got this folder on my G Drive.
Yeah.
It's called Taxes 2022. Mm-hmm. And then just dump it while I still remember.
100%. Like I also have, I've automated a lot of the payments that I have. So when I do that, whenever the receipt gets sent to my email inbox, I have a label that just says taxes. So the moment I hit tax season, I just click on the little label and it goes, hey, here's all the emails that have to do with your taxes.
Right.
It's nice. It's good.
Okay. So maybe now specify year by year. So you won't like,
yes, that is,
right?
That is the next step. There was a brief moment where maybe someone that, you know, someone maybe used the wrong EA form for 2 seconds file. The second tip that we're talking about today
is to open a business bank account. So it may be a good idea to open a business bank account so that you can keep track of the cash flow of your business. You can keep your business income and expenses separate from your personal finances. Moreover, a separate bank account may also contribute to an easier and better bookkeeping process, so you can use your account statements to cross-check with your invoices and receipts. Besides, some business bank accounts may also offer certain promotion and benefits to you, such as a business loan with lower interest rates. So it'd be wise to shop around a little to check for such perks.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think, a really important part of knowing stuff about finances, right? Where there's so much that you don't know about the products that banks can offer you. You don't know about the loans that you could be given. You don't know about grants you could apply for, potentially for extra financing and stuff like that. So definitely a lot of things to consider. And it's worth really doing that research before you get started, just so that you have that foundation in place. And you don't know, you could save some money. And we all love saving money. Speaking of which, we have on the line with us, as I mentioned before the break, Pang Tun Yao, Chief Editor of Ringgit Plus, joining us on the line today to shed some light on this. So thanks very much for joining us today. Now, first question, if you are an employee and you have a side business, how will the taxes work? Is it based on company or employee rates? And what are the tax rates like?
So first of all, it's important to distinguish the difference between a side business and a freelance gig. A side business is when you have secondary enterprises that you run when you already have a prior commitment, such as a day job or a primary business. You're a freelancer when your income depends directly on the profits that you derive. So, for example, if you run an online store on an e-commerce platform or on social media, that's a side business. But if you're a food delivery rider or a content writer for multiple clients on a per-project basis, then you're a freelancer. So to answer the question, if you have a full-time job and run a side business, you are taxed as someone with an individual business income, and you file either Form B if your side business is a sole proprietorship or Form P if it is a partnership. Either way, this means you include your income from both your main job and the profits earned from your side business, and you're eligible for both individual tax relief and deductions as well as exemptions for your side business. This also means that the tax rates are the same as an individual who doesn't run a side business. It is the exact same income brackets and the exact same tax rates. The only difference is, of course, you include the profits from your side business into your computation.
Right. So, Pang, do you have to register a business?
Actually, it's very beneficial for you to register your side business with the Suruhanjaya Syarikat Malaysia, or SSM. Registering a sole proprietorship business is actually quite affordable and opens the doors to a number of tax incentives that can help you reduce your total chargeable income for the year. As a business owner registered with the SSM, you can claim for various business expenses as operating costs like purchase of equipment, software, and things like transportation and travel expenses. Just make sure you have the necessary documents to be able to distinguish these expenses as business ones and not personal ones.
Okay, so speaking of which, what kind of documents should you keep or have on hand? So is it just like invoices and receipts?
So as you know, documentation is extremely important because you need to be able to provide evidence that whatever that you're filing is accurate. So you should practice good bookkeeping habits, you know, like having a system in place for storing your invoices and expenses, or when it comes to generating monthly statements and P&Ls, stuff like that. All of this is important because when you need to file your taxes for your side business, you know exactly the amount that you need to put and not have to go through a whole year's worth of statements and expenses. One last tip that I'd like to share is to have digital copies of your receipts and invoices. The Income Tax Act states that you must keep them for a period of 7 years, but I'm sure you know that many physical receipts and invoices tend to fade over time. So it's a good idea to have a soft copy just in case.
Definitely.
Right.
Well, thank you very much. That was Pang Tun Yao, Chief Editor of Ringgit Plus. And yeah, I think very sensible suggestions there, honestly.
And the one about scanning it, making sure electric, because they do fade.
Yes, absolutely. And I think one very quick thing that I just want to mention that I kind of found out over the past couple of years, there's a lot more that you can automate that you may not think you can. I think, there are some bills or some recurring transfers that you have to make that, like, it does have a website. I understand, sometimes maybe we're not aware that there's a lot of our bills we can pay online, but most governmental right. services, for example, you can set up an account online, you can go through that mm. and get them to send you an e-receipt instead of a paper one. And it also, you know, helping us save on paper is never a bad thing as well. I could honestly tell you I don't check my actual physical mailbox that often, but I check right. my email very regularly. So, right. you know, that's definitely very important.
You know, I was just listening to Pang and everything. And then sometimes I think that's also, maybe it's just me. When I hear the word bookkeeping, I think I had developed a high, you know, reaction, right? Oh, bookkeeping. Mm. But it is important. And of course, you know, we're just covering here a little bit about thinking about what you do if you have a side business. Of course, listen to our Ringgit and Sense show. Of you course. Know, I'm sure they've got all these topics covered, especially, you know, with tax season around yeah. the corner.
And of course, you know, we cover taxes on BizBytes as well. We normally do some sort of content regarding taxes. So again, if you have any questions, please let us know. Twitter at BFM Radio, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Unfortunately, though, we will not be able to address those because we've come to the end of the show today about income taxes and side hustles. So thanks again to our expert, Pang Tun Yao, chief editor of Ringgit Plus, for sharing those thoughts with us. And if you've missed any of today's show, of course, where can you find the show, Frida?
You can find the show on our on the website, right? That's bfm.my. And of course, you know, also on our app, which you can download on, you know, Google Play and also iTunes.
Yes, the Apple App Store indeed. Yeah. Now, don't forget, though, that coming up at 1 p.m. later on after the news bulletin, established in 2000 after an invitation from the Malaysian Ministry of Education, the University of Nottingham, Malaysia welcomed its first 89 students in September of that same year. 22 years later, the university has grown to become one of the foremost private education institutions in Malaysia, expanding to cater to hundreds of students studying in a variety of fields, from research to arts and social studies to engineering. But how has the pandemic impacted the institution's operations? And given the border closures, is Malaysia or was Malaysia still an attractive destination for foreign students to study in? Interim Provost and CEO of the university, Professor Sarah Matkal, fielded those questions. So that is all coming up after the news bulletin. On behalf of myself, Christine Wong, and my colleague, Frida Liu, this is Enterprise BizBytes on BFM 89.9. And we have Working for a Living by Huey Lewis and the News here to take you out to 1 p.m.
Enterprise BizBytes was presented by Allianz Malaysia, empowering businesses to build confidence in tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.